Today we are starting a four-part message series called We Give. And the point of all of these messages, they are leading us to somewhere as to where we are going in October, okay? October the 1st is going to be a very special day for us in the life of our church. Last week or the week before last, I talked about these moving forward building payoff commitment cards. We have been blessed with an amazing facility. Amen? An amazing facility. But it is time for us to make a new time of commitment to retiring the debt on this amazing facility. So these messages are leading us to October the 1st. Be praying about what you would commit to, you know, a year or 2 years or 3 years of giving to be able to pay off this amazing facility so that we can in turn take those funds and use those for ministry or for something else. This message series is going to go against the grain of culture that will tell us life is all about you. Go and get yours first. You only have one life to live. So live it now and live it for yourself. But this is what followers of Christ do. We give. We give. We give of ourselves to other people. We give of ourselves for the sake of other people, but ultimately for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whenever we give of ourselves, may I remind us today that whenever we give of ourselves, ultimately, we are giving to Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 25, I'm sure you've read this scripture. I'm sure you've heard this scripture. But what a great reminder for us this morning. For Jesus says in Matthew 25, I'm going to pick it up in verse 35. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when do we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when do we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine," he says, "you did it to me." And whenever we give ourselves for the sake of other people, ultimately, we are giving ourselves to Jesus Christ himself. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of the beautiful word of God? John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Let's read it in its entirety, and we'll talk about some things within this. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" Verse 12, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, as a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Would you pray with me this morning? God, we love you. We come before just your incredible throne, and we say thank you for this amazing example that you tell us to follow, to serve and to give of ourselves, to wash one another's feet. Lord, I just ask and pray that you would help us to see how that applies to us today as a church, to us as individuals, to us as leaders of families, to us as we are a part of families, and as leaders of ministry, leaders of jobs and corporations. God, we just ask and pray that you would just search our hearts today, and you would help us to see how we can better give of ourselves. God, not for us, not for our namesake, not for the name of Lake Center, but God, ultimately, for the name of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to understand that whenever we give of ourselves, ultimately, we are giving to you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave himself for us. So God, we ask and pray that by the power of your Spirit, and as we proclaim the word of God, that you would search throughout this room and that you would meet us right where we are at today. You know every single knee. You know every heart. You know where every single person is, where they are spiritually, where they are in you. And God, we just ask and pray by the power of your Spirit that you would be the one today to do this work by your power. God, we cannot do this without you. We love you. We love you. We love you. And everyone said, please be seated this morning. If you're taking notes, and I hope you are, we should give of ourselves as followers of Christ in the good seasons and also in the tough seasons of life. Verse 1, it says, now his hour had come to depart out of this world. In other words, what this means is that Jesus Christ he's getting ready to die. Jesus Christ was getting ready to go through one of the most horrendous acts of torture that one could ever go through. Jesus Christ was getting ready to be beaten. He was getting ready to be punched in the face. He was getting ready to be whipped in the back, to be spit on, to be mocked. Jesus Christ was getting ready to be humiliated. He was going to go through such anxiety that he would sweat drops of blood. He was going to be denied and to be sold out by one of his disciples. The rest of the disciples would eventually go to turn their back on Jesus. He had to carry his own cross. Eventually, he would have his hands and his feet nailed by spikes to this horrendous cross. He would have to suffer an excruciating death. He would take on the sin of the world. He would face the wrath of God Almighty because of our sin. And ultimately, when he was nailed to that horrendous cross, he cried out these words, Elama, Elama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ultimately, he was forsaken by God Almighty. And here we find Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, taking a towel to wash the feet of his disciples. The very feet who would eventually run from the Savior. Peter Pett writes, in the face of the unbelievable suffering to come, he turned his thoughts not to himself, but to his disciples, whom he had loved constantly. They were his constant companions, and he treasured them. Now he would reveal his love for them to its fullest extent. In the hour of his trial, he would not allow himself to be taken up with his own thoughts, but would take time to reveal to them the inner secrets of God. You see, Jesus Christ in this moment would have had every single right to have taken some time to himself. He would have had every single right to go and to spend some time alone, to process his thoughts. He knew what was coming. He knew that he was getting ready to die. He knew that his hour had come. He would have had every right to go and spend some time with family, to go and to do what was best for him. I was talking to some of our men about this very idea this morning, and one of our guys said, Jesus Christ would have had every right to go and max out his credit card. He would have had every right to do what he wanted to do in this moment. But you know what? He doesn't. In a time where everything was against him, he knew that his hour had come. He was getting ready to go from this earth to die for the sake of our sins. And here we find Jesus Christ serving and giving of himself. And this is a great example for us to follow. And I ask myself this question. And I ask us all this question today. Do you give of yourself when it's convenient for you? Or are you willing to give of yourself when things aren't going your way? You see, it's easy to jump in and to give of your life, to give of yourself when things are going your way, when it's convenient, when it's a good season of life, when you're not so busy. But servants of Christ, we give of ourselves no matter what season we may find ourselves in. And please understand my heart this morning. I understand full well that there are seasons in our life where we need breaks. That's true. There are seasons where we just simply need to stop and to refresh and to gather our thoughts and to, you know, be made new again. There are seasons of life where we need breaks and rest. But we as followers of Christ must follow this example to give of ourselves no matter what, even when things are not perfect in life. As a matter of fact, you know how to turn a tough season of life into a good season of life? You know how to do that? You give. You give of yourself. This is how Jesus Christ himself saw this. He is literally getting ready to die, and you find him taking a towel and girding himself with his towel and filling up a basin of water and washing the feet of his disciples. This is how Jesus saw it. Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the," what's it say? Say that out loud, say joy. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." You see, it was a joy for Jesus Christ to give of himself during a tough season of life. And as followers of Christ, it should be a joy for us to give of ourselves no matter what we may find ourselves going through. This past week, we had the opportunity of celebrating the life of my grandfather on Tuesday of this last week. And it was just an amazing time. My grandma, this past June, celebrated her 60th wedding anniversary with my grandpa. And let me just tell you, what we were talking about today is, it describes my grandma. It describes my grandma Jernigan. All I've ever known her as in her entire life is that as a servant. I mean, she is a servant. She's just such an amazing giver of herself. And even in the midst of losing a husband of 60 years, we still see her serving her family. We even saw her, you know, go in and make a meal for her entire family. We even see her, you know, getting up and helping my great aunt with some of her food and making tea for my great aunt. You see, my grandma was still giving of herself even during a tough season of life. And as followers of Christ, we should follow the example of Jesus and to give of ourselves no matter what is going on in our life. Next, we should give ourselves to others as followers of Christ, to others no matter what they might give to us. To other people, no matter what they might give to us. In verses 2 through 5, it says this, that Judas, it had been put into his heart to betray Jesus. Verse 4, it says, he took a towel, he tied it around his waist, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 11 says this, that Jesus knew that Judas was getting ready to betray him. And can you imagine the act of humility that is going on right here? Jesus knows full well that he is getting ready to be sold out by Judas. He knows full well that Peter is getting ready to deny him. He knows full well that his disciples are all getting ready to desert him. And here he takes a towel and he begins to wash their feet. Can you imagine the humility that this would take? But listen, church, this is what followers of Christ do. This is what we do. We give of ourselves to other people, no matter what they might give back to us, no matter what we might receive in return. We do it because we love God. We give of ourselves because we love God. This is what Jesus Christ lived out. And this is what Jesus Christ says to do. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus himself said it. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Not only does Jesus say this here in Matthew chapter 5, here in John chapter 13, we see Jesus practically living this out. So how do we as followers of Christ practically live this out? Here's some examples. This means that you as a follower of Christ, this means that you mow the lawn of the neighbor who gets on your nerves. Anybody ever had a neighbor that got on your nerves? Nobody? Just me? Okay. This means that you make dinner for the spouse that's wronged you or the kids that have wronged you. This means that you pick up the kids of the friend that's been talking behind your back. This means that you go and visit the church member in the hospital who's never shown you any love whatsoever. This means that you do the customer right, even though they have a horrible attitude. You know, I'm going to talk a lot about, you know, my grandpa Jernigan probably these next few weeks because he's on my heart right now. But this was my grandpa. I had the opportunity to preach his funeral this past week, and it was by far the longest funeral that I had ever been to. Almost 2.5 hours. Not because I spoke, all right, but because of just his life. You see, he preached his own funeral. He preached his own funeral, and he lived this concept out as well. He spent an entire life serving. He spent an entire life giving. And one thing that I said about my grandpa is that I just didn't know much about him. You know why? Because he never talked about himself. He never spoke about himself. He spent an entire lifetime giving of himself to other people, giving to his family, giving to his church, serving the purposes of God. He was a servant, gentle and humble. He never, ever, 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 ever complained. I never once in my entire lifetime, he's 80 years old, never heard him complain about anything. And he preached his own funeral. And did you know what, church? That every single one of us in this room, we're preaching our own funeral right now. Do you know that? By the way that you live, by the way that you are giving of yourself, by the way that you are serving other people with your life, you are preaching your own funeral right now. And as followers of Christ, we should give of ourselves to other people. No matter what they might give to us, no matter what we might receive in return. Next, we should give of ourselves to do the task of a servant. To do the task of a servant. You see, foot washing during this time period was a task reserved for a non-Jewish slave. You see, Jewish people would walk around long distances in sandals on roads that were primarily dirt. And non-Jewish slaves, it was their task. Whenever Jews would walk into a place, it was their task to wash off their feet. This was a menial task. This was a low task. This was a gross task. This would like be like washing the feet of Tyson Murphy or Mickey Smith or Rod Neal after a long day of playing basketball. I mean, can you imagine anything worse? I can't imagine anything worse. But picture this. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has all power, stooping low to do the task of a servant. This would be like the President of the United States coming into my home and washing all of my toilets. If he were to come into my home and to wash on my toilets, I would send him to my son's bedroom first. Let me just tell you. But this is what Jesus Christ does. He gives of himself to do the task of a servant. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "You might suppose that he would rise up in a very dignified manner and put on a purple robe and a golden girdle. But instead of that, he rose from the supper table, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. He knew that he had come forth from God and that he was going back to God, and he performed this action on the way home to his Father." And Spurgeon says, "Oh, dear brothers and sisters, if Christ thus stooped, how humble ought we to be? No office should be counted too lowly. No work for his servants should seem to be too humiliating, since Jesus took a towel and girded himself." And this is what followers of Christ do. We give of ourselves to do the task of a servant. This is who we are. This is what we do as followers of Christ. We do menial tasks, the menial tasks of servants for the glory of God. And listen, church, this should start right here. This should start right here in our church. In our church, having a place of service among the body, serving in your small group, serving in a ministry, serving the body, serving in the life of the church. There is no one too big to serve in the life of the church. There is no task too small to do in the life of the church. Everything we do among the body, everything we do for each other in the life of the church, everything, even if it is something menial, it matters. And this is what we as followers of Christ do. We serve and give of ourselves, especially in the life of the church. This should also branch into our family. This should also branch out into our home as well. Are you serving in the life of your home? Are you serving your spouse? Are you taking the role of a servant with your husband or with your wife? Children in this place today, teenagers in this place today, are you living this out in your home? Are you giving of yourself in the life of your home? Because this is what followers of Christ do. We serve in the life of the church. Yes, we do that. But we serve within our homes as well. This should also be played out within our communities. We should be a part of things socially in our communities to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You know, every single year, my wife and I, we choose to put our sons in some sort of sports team. We signed them up for flag football this past month. And, the next 8 weeks, they're going to be playing flag football. Let me just tell you, my sons have no clue what flag football is. All right, they don't have a clue what's going on. And you know what? I'm not trying to get my sons to aspire to be the next, Tom Brady or next great quarterback. I'm not trying to live out my glory years in high school through my sons. So I'm not trying to do that. You know why I asked my sons to play flag football? So I can serve some people on their team. It's so I can get to know a few of those parents. And maybe Brittany and I can become, the team parents where we bring the snacks and we serve, within our community. You see, we as followers of Christ should serve in the life of the church. We should serve and give of ourselves and do the role of a servant in our homes, but also in our communities as well. Not so that people can notice us or notice our church, but so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ outside of these walls for his glory. Next, we should give of ourselves as followers of Jesus because Jesus gave all of himself for the cleansing of our sin. I want to read verses 6 through 10 again and kind of explain what's going on here. Verse 6, he said to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." What Jesus is essentially doing here, Jesus is essentially telling Peter by the washing of his feet that I forgive you. Because Jesus knows full well that Peter is getting ready And just a few hours later, Peter is getting ready to go on and to deny Jesus Christ. And by Jesus coming and doing this symbolic act to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, Jesus knows in his heart that they're all getting ready to desert him. And essentially what Jesus is saying is this: by the washing of their feet, I already forgive you. I already forgive you. Verse 8, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean." You see, these verses, verses 6 all the way through 10, are a reference to the cleansing forgiveness of sin that Jesus Christ gives by his death. And verse 10 is a reference to our forever for sure salvation, but a reference that we need to go and to ask for forgiveness. It's a reference to the need of confession for sin. 1 John verse 1, chapter 1, verses 7 and 9 says this: "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. And because he cleanses us from our sin, we should give all of ourselves to him and for him because of what he has done for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this: "We love because he first loved us." We love because he first loved us. This word "loved" can be, we can replace so many words with the word "love" here. We love because he first loved us. We give because Christ gave for us. We serve because Christ serves us. We should forgive others because Christ forgives us. We go because Christ tells us to go. We go because Christ came for us. We are a friend because Christ is a friend for us. We sacrifice and give of ourselves because Christ sacrificed for us. As followers of Christ, we love because Christ loves us. And remember, church, we don't do any of this for salvation. None of this is for salvation. Salvation is a free gift that Jesus Christ gives us. And when the Spirit of God draws us to him, we give ourselves to him as he is drawing to us. And we don't do this for salvation. We give and serve and sacrifice and go and love others like Jesus Christ does because of our salvation that is free in Christ Jesus. We give of ourselves because Jesus Christ gave all of himself for the cleansing of our sins. Next, we should give of ourselves in obedience to follow the example of Jesus. We should give of ourselves in obedience to follow the example of Jesus. Verse 14, Jesus says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." What's he saying there? If I am willing to stoop to the level of a servant, to do something that is menial, to do something that is gross, that no one else really wants to do, if I am willing to serve you, my brother, then what he's saying here is this: we should be willing to follow his example and to serve each other no matter what. No matter what. Verse 15, he says, "For as I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Jesus says, follow my example. Do what I do. Live as I lived. Walk as I have walked. F.B. Meyer writes, "We must be willing to obey him as a soldier obeys his commanding officers, even when the order conflicts with his comfort, convenience, or safety. We must also do for each other in our poor measure what he has done for us, taking on the form and work of a slave that we may remove from each other any stain that may have been contracted. It is only when we have stooped to the simplest and lowliest humility that we are able to lift our brethren to a purer and nobler life." Even Jesus himself says in Mark chapter 10, He says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to be waited on hand and foot, what would give us the right as followers of Jesus Christ to rise above the person of Jesus Christ if the Son of God came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many? Then as followers of Christ, we must give of ourselves in obedience to follow the example of Jesus. John says this in 1 John chapter 2. He says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. What John is saying here is this. If you say that you're a follower of God, then you will follow the example of Jesus Christ. If we as followers of Christ say that we truly are following Jesus, then we will follow his example. We will do as Jesus Christ has done. James, the brother of Jesus, essentially says the same thing. He says this in James chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What James is essentially saying here is this. You say that you're a follower of Christ, but do your actions prove it? Do your actions prove it? Does the way that you live your life, the way that you act, the way that you spend your money, the way that you talk, the places that you go, the way that you spend your time, James is saying, does it prove that you're a Christian? Are you really walking in obedience and following the example of Jesus Christ? Again, not for salvation, but because of our salvation as followers of Christ, we should give of ourselves in obedience to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And lastly, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should give of ourselves. And I love this last point. It's probably my favorite. Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 17, Jesus says this. If you know these things, talking about following his example, talking about doing what Jesus Christ has done and what he has lived out, you know, washing the feet of the disciples, you know, serving our brothers in Christ, serving other people, doing tasks that may seem menial. He says, if you know these things, he says this. What's he say? What's he say? Blessed, right? He says, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you take on the role of a servant and do the tasks of a servant in the church and in your home and in your community, even when people don't even know your name or know who you are. He says, blessed are you if you do them. That word blessed, it's the Greek word makarios. And you know what it means? It means happy. Jesus says this, happy are you. Happy you will be if you do these things, if you serve, and if you give, and if you give of yourself. We gain so much, followers of Christ, whenever we give. Where we are blessed so much whenever we give of ourselves, and we give ourselves for Christ and for the gospel. And listen, this is where true joy and happiness comes from. It's not receiving, it's the giving of oneself in all aspects of life. For the glory of God. And can you imagine the type of culture that would be created within a business, within a school, within a sports team, within a family, within a classroom, and most importantly, within the context of a church, if everyone lived this concept out that we give of ourselves. And as I'm talking this morning and I'm looking at this crowd, I really feel like I'm preaching to the choir. I really do, because I see this played out among each and every one of you in so many ways. But this is what followers of Christ do. We give of ourselves because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And can you imagine the amount of joy that would be among us if we all simply lived this out? The amount of joy that we would see in the church, especially when we are all giving of ourselves. You know what it would be like? It'd be like heaven on earth, right? It'd be like heaven on earth. Matt Chandler says, and this is convicting, the more your world is about you, the more angry and tired you'll be. The more it's not about you, the more free you'll be. I'm going to read that again. The more your world is about you, the more angry and tired you'll be. The more it's not about you, the more free you'll be. So I ask myself this question this morning. I'm going to ask you this question too. This is back to me as well when I ask it. What about you? What about me? Are you giving of yourself in your family? Spouse, are you giving to your spouse? Husband, are you giving to your wife? Are you serving your wife? Wife, are you serving your husband? In your job, in your workplace, do you go in with the attitude that you're here for me, you're here for me? Or do you go in with the attitude of I exist for you? In your community, how's that playing out for you? Are you serving in the life of your community outside of the walls of the church somehow, some way? Maybe it is your job. Maybe you've claimed your job as your community. Go and be Jesus Christ there. Students, are you living this out in your classrooms, among your sports team that, you know, I'm here to give, I'm here to serve, I'm here to be an example to this teacher and to these kids? Most importantly, and this is for all of us, are you living this out among your church family? Are you giving of yourself to your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you have a place of service? Do you come to church and it's I want to hear something good, I want to hear a good song, or I want to hear a good sermon, or do you come into this place and you say, God, it's about you today. Not just today, not just on Sundays, but every single day. Do you come to this place and say, I want to give to the body? I want to serve in the life of the body. I want to give back to my brothers and my sisters, and I want to give to those who may not be a part of the body yet. Are you giving of yourself in the life of the body? I don't know about you, but I do want to experience a taste of heaven on earth. Amen? And I really do believe that we can taste that in the life of the church. What Jesus says to pray in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to study this next week, where Jesus says, you know, pray that, you know, his will would be done and his kingdom would come on the what? Earth. As his will is being done in heaven, as we as followers of Christ live this out, as we give of ourselves in every area of our life, we're going to experience it. We're going to experience a taste of what heaven's going to be like when we as followers of Christ are different. When we are different in our jobs. When we are different when we're on the golf course. When we are different whenever we are in Walmart, whenever we're in our classrooms, when we are different whenever we're getting ready to go and to eat lunch in just a few moments in restaurants, when we as followers of Christ, this is who we are when we give of ourselves. Whenever we do this, Jesus says, you will be blessed, makairos, happy. There will be happiness and joy overflowing among us, more happiness and joy than we could possibly imagine. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for this example. Where the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God came to this earth and he gave of himself. Which was just an amazing example that he would stoop so low to wash nasty and dirty feet of very men who would eventually all go on to betray him, desert him, and run from him. And he did it all for them. So God, help us to be a people who are like that, who would not hold grudges, who would not do things to be seen. But God, help us to be a people who would do the task of a servant for the glory of God, as you tell us to do this, as Jesus Christ has done this. But God, help us to be a people like this in every area, not just in the life of the church, but in our homes and in our workplaces. Help us to be a people who give and who are different, so that we can shine the light of Jesus Christ to a dark world that needs to see Jesus Christ proclaimed outside of the walls of this church. Oh God, help us to give. Help us to be different. Different than what the world is. Not so that we can prove the world wrong, so that we, in a sense, can serve the world, so that we, in a sense, can love the world like Jesus Christ does. Oh God, help us to be that people. Maybe you're here today and the Spirit of God is working on your heart. You feel this, it's just this drawing towards something. And you don't know what we're talking about. You don't know what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But this feeling has come over you. Please understand, that's the Spirit of God drawing you. The Bible says that no man can come to Jesus unless the Spirit of God draws him. That's a beautiful thing. If the Spirit of God is drawing you this morning to give your life to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If the Spirit of God is drawing you to do that this morning, then just call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, I ask you to save me. Save me from what? Your sin? The Bible says that we've all sinned and messed up. We all have. We all fall short of the glory of God. And if the Spirit of God is just drawing you today, just call on him to save you. And from your seat this morning, commit your life to follow him the best that you know how. Maybe you're here today and the Spirit of God has just spoken to you about maybe the way that you've been giving and serving. Maybe you haven't been giving in your home, or maybe you haven't been giving in your community or your job or in your classroom, or maybe you have not been giving in the life of the church and serving the body, serving the people of God. Maybe today you just need to just get that right with God. Maybe you need to just maybe come to the altar and just repent. Maybe you need to do that at your seat and say, God, from this point forward, I want to live for you because you have given so much for me. Because of the grace that you've given me, God, I want to give to you and I want to serve from this point forward. I don't want it to be about me, God. Maybe you're here today, you just need prayer for something. Maybe there's something that's heavy on your heart and your mind. This is my desire as your leader, is that this time would be just a time that's safe for us as a family of God to pray with each other. Maybe you have prayer for something that I didn't even mention today, and the Spirit of God is just heavy on your heart that you want to receive prayer for this. There are four people up here, five people up here who would be honored and delighted to pray with you. We're not going to judge you. We're just going to pray with you. Whatever it is that you need to do today, if God is telling you to do something, and you be obedient to do that. God, we love you. Help us to be people who would live this out, who would give of ourselves in every area of life, because Jesus Christ served, did the task of a servant, and ultimately gave his life. What a privilege it is that we have as followers to be able to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ and to do as he has done. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, this time is for you. You be obedient to God. If he's calling you to do something, you be obedient to that, and you respond to him as we stand and as we sing.